Everyone, I think I'm just going to open with prayer, but before I do that, I'm just going to ask everyone to get their Bibles, because we are going to be reading through our Bibles today. We're going to be reading through 1 John, so you can start to get your Bibles, get to 1 John. We're going to be reading through that. I'm going to be exposing it a little bit, but we're going to be delving into the Word. But I'd just like to open in prayer. You know, it was so encouraging, Brad, as you were just praying this morning. Just, you know, when we pray, how powerful it is and how the Holy Spirit just settles on us and just does a work. So let's just pray again. You know, we just can't pray enough. So, Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you that when we just give our hearts to you, you change us. It's impossible not to be changed through you when we just devote ourselves to you and give ourselves to you. So we thank you for this morning. May you touch our hearts. May you change our lives. May we see you more. May we know you more. May we want you more. And Lord, we just thank you as we just submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I'm just encouraged. You know, we've been just speaking so much about Jesus and about his word. And I just want to encourage us in that. The message this morning is walk in the light. And for me, the Lord continually reminds me of the importance of his word, and to delight. And that word delight means to take great pleasure in his word. And it's not just hearing his word. And this is what I want to get across to us today is when you read in the psalmist and that, and when he says delighting in the word, it's not just hearing, but it's applying that word to our lives so that through the application, it actually changes us. And that's what we delight in. So we should be delighting in this, in the word, because it affects so much change in our lives. It actually transforms us into who we were created to be. If we don't align the word into our lives, we will never know who we really are, because it is God who formed us and fashioned us in our mother's wombs. And it's him who created our lives to be what they were supposed to be. And we need to grab hold of this word to know who we are. And I was just thinking, a picture came to me of if God created me to be a tractor, yet I'm using myself as a tractor to commute to work and back and to go on the highway, I'm never going to fit in. I'm going to try and adapt my tires, and I'm going to try and put better fuel in. I'm going to try and change the exhaust, but it's never going to work. I'm just not going to be able to drive on the highway and commute to work and back, because I'm a tractor. But if I'm put into a farmyard and a plow is put behind me and I'm in the mud, I will be effective. And this is what the word does, is sometimes we don't apply the word to ourselves. So we're trying to be someone who we are not. And yet the word shows us who we really are. And when we get into and position ourselves into who we really created to be, we will be effective, like a tractor in the right place. Two scriptures have really been impressing on my heart before we get to 1 John. And those two are Joshua 1:8. I just want to read the two, Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1:1-3. But Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Always. Meditate on it day and night." Now, this is incredible. So the Lord's sending Joshua into the promised land, and he's saying, this book, the law, my words, meditate on it on day and night. There's only one other scripture where it says we should meditate on something day and night. And it's the word of God. So my encouragement is, what are we meditating on? Is it the word of God? And then it goes on to say, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So this is the purpose of the word. And this is what I want to get into the word to this morning, is that so that we can be careful to do everything, not just parts of it. We seem to be selective and choose certain good things out of the word and leave the rest. Yet we need to be careful to do everything in it. Then, the Lord says, you'll be prosperous and successful. So we sometimes look for that prosperity and that successfulness, and it's not just in money. I'm talking about in ministries, in lives, in our relationships, in all things God's talking about. We want those things, but we're neglecting giving ourselves to all of his word. You know that if we have given ourselves to the word, we don't even need to pray for these things, because God has promised it to us. If I promise a jacket to Tyron and I say, you work for me for a whole week, I'll buy you a jacket. If he works for me the whole week, he doesn't have to come to me and say, Dad, please, can I have that jacket? I promised it to him. I said, if you work this week, I'll give you the jacket. And God says, if we meditate on his law and keep it, we will be prosperous and successful. We do not even have to pray for it. It's a promise from God. Psalms 1, 1, 2, 3 also said, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or even sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Again, this thing about applying this law to our lives. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Here again, a promise from God. If we are in his word and if we are applying it to our lives and if we are meditating it, we will be prosperous and successful in everything, in our businesses, in our ministry, in our relationships, in our prayer life, and even our physical selves brings healing. As David the psalmist tells us, he says, I walk in integrity, I do not turn from the left of right to the left of right of your ways. Your law is within my heart. Therefore, Lord, may you destroy my foes. May you heal me in my sick bed. May you give me food even in the midst of famine, because I'm applying your word to my life all the time. So we tend to drift from this pure word and lean towards messages that tickle our ears and often people's opinions who speak to our flesh, puffing us up instead of glorifying God. And during this time of lockdown, I know we're given to many videos and many people's teachings, and we listen to many people that are well known, but we've got to be careful to first ground ourselves in the true word and let the Holy Spirit reveal it to us, lest we get somebody else's opinion or somebody else's interpretation of the gospel, which might not be right. And that's why I'm going to show you something in the scripture, who leads us and guides us through the scripture. So in that, I always say, who are you giving ear to? Be careful who you give ear to, especially during this time when there's so many videos going out and so many teachers. We need to get back into the pure word. So this morning, let's study the word. I'm going to read and we're going to go through 1 John 1 and hopefully 2. We'll see how much time we've got. 1 John is all about light, love, and life. So we're going to touch on more of the light today. Right, let's start. 1 John 1 from the beginning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. This is John, Jesus' disciple, writing. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. So John was with Jesus. He walked with him. He touched him. He saw him. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify of it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So John is proclaiming this life. He's proclaiming Jesus Christ, whom he walked with, whom he saw, whom he touched. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. No, not somebody else's gospel. Not somebody else's teaching. John was with Jesus himself. He says, so that you also may have fellowship with us. So John says, I'm going to tell you things so that you can have the same fellowship that the apostles had. I often dream, Lord, I would have loved to be one of those disciples to walk with Jesus. But John's going to give us the keys of how we can know Jesus as intimately as they did. He says, so you can have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's a key. The fellowship is with Jesus and the Father. Often we dwell and we fellowship a lot with the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit. That's fine. But then our fellowship is sometimes with Jesus. But what it is, it also has to be with the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The purpose of Jesus is to get us to the Father. And our relationship needs to be with the Father as well. So sometimes we just dwell in the Holy Spirit or we dwell with Jesus. But John's telling us our fellowship is with Jesus and the Father. We need to get into fellowship with the Father as well. Even the word says, it's the Father who through Jesus Christ is reconciling the world to himself. He's reconciling all of us to himself. And then John says, we write this to make our joy complete. It's a great message that he's giving us. Then he says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. Can you imagine one of the disciples who's walked with Jesus saying to you, this is the message. I tell you what, I want to keep quiet. I don't want to listen to anyone else. I want to hear what a disciple of Jesus says. This is the message that Jesus told us. What is this message? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. That's the message he gives. Can you imagine the disciple saying, what is this message I'm going to give? God is light, and there is no darkness in him. If we, me and you, claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Now, that is an amazing statement. If we say we are Christians, we know Jesus, and we walk with him, yet there's darkness in us, we are living a lie. This is what John the disciple, he heard this message from Jesus. He says, but he has the good news. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So here we are. Jesus is telling us, he brings us into a relationship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, that is liberating, because sometimes we can be stuck in a sin. But here we're seeing that if we walk in the light, his son will deliver us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's so many people who are living lives that say, I don't have sin, I'm okay, I'm all right. But what Jesus is saying is, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, but we need to confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. You see, in light, there's transparency. You can see through it. We need to bring our lives into a place where there is no darkness, where we are hiding nothing from Jesus Christ. We need to bring it to him so that his blood can cleanse us, can purify us so that we can walk in the light as he is in light. See, a big thing of this is our conscience. Often we come to Jesus, but there's darkness in our lives, and Satan attacks our conscience because he says, you know there's darkness in there, so you cannot fully walk in the light, so you are living a lie. So when we come into the light and we confess our sins, all of it to Jesus Christ, he cleanses us, and we have the liberty of being filled with light so we can walk with Jesus. Verse 10 says, if we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Guys, this is a big thing. So first of all, we need to make sure we confess our sins regularly before Jesus Christ so he can cleanse us so that we can walk in his light. Right, then we go into 1 John verse 2. He says, my dear children, so here we see John is not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to grounded, mature Christians. He knew them as his children. He says, my dear children, I write to you this so that you will not sin. What's the purpose of Jesus coming? What's the purpose of the word? What's the message that Jesus gave us? That we will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And this is the liberating thing, is that Satan and the enemy will come and try and hold this against us. Yet we can say, no, I can bring my sins to Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses me, and I can walk in the light. Therefore, I can receive every promise that Jesus has given me. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is for everybody. So we can go and tell the whole world this good news, this message that Jesus Christ gave his disciples and now giving us, that even our joy can be complete. We know that we have come, verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. One of our slogans is to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. The only way to know him is if we are obedient to all his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. This is incredible. This is from John. This is the message. Anyone who says, I know Jesus, and does not do his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. Now, this is not condemnation, and this should not make you feel condemned, but it should set you free, because what Jesus does is he qualifies us to know Jesus, to know the Father, and to be without sin. And not only that, he empowers us, because at his ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit to put his nature within us, which allows us to be free of darkness and to know God. But if anyone obeys his word, love for the God is truly made complete in them. You want to really love God? Obey his commandments. If you love God, you will obey his commandments. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. This is this whole thing. What are we trying to do? We are trying to be Christ-like, and we need to live just as Christ had and have the same relationship with the Father that Jesus had with the Father. Our relationship is with the Father as Jesus had it. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new commandment, but an old one, which you had from the beginning. This is not something new. This is all in the Old Testament as well. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing a new command. So it's the old one, but it's a little bit changed. Its truth is seen in Jesus. So if we see the life of Jesus, we can live this out. And if we understand the power of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be able to live this out without sinning because of the blood of Christ. And its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are new creations. The old has passed, the new has come. And we need to take on this and say, this is who I am in Christ, born into a new relationship, reconciled to the Father, and I no longer walk in darkness, but in light. Anyone who claims to be in the light, listen to this, but hates his brother or sister, is still in darkness. One of the measures of our Christianity, how are we doing in our Christianity? Do we have a love for our brothers and our sisters? Do we want to fellowship with them? Do we want to be with them? We don't get together because we have to or because the pastor tells us to. It's because the love of our brothers and sisters has been placed into us. The measure of Christ-likeness is our service towards each other as well. Verse 10 goes on to say, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister, okay, maybe unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So one of the keys of us to have fulfillment is to forgive and to move on and to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to love them, to care for them, to serve them, to fellowship with them. Okay, I'm going to jump down. Time's running away with us. I'm going to jump down to verse 15. Two distractions that can also keep us in darkness and out of the light. Verse 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. So many of us get caught up in this. And Brad, maybe we can chat on this if we have time afterwards, is what is it? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. And we need to be talking more about this. We talk about a lot of things, and there's a lot of teachings and preachings on TV, but are they teaching us what the love of the world is and what is not? We need to know it. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, it feels good, therefore I like it. Or the lust of the eyes, it looks good, therefore I want it. And the pride of life, my will, my entitlement, and my achievements, comes not from the Father, but from the world. We need to get rid of it in order to walk in the light. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Dear children, and sorry, that's in verse 17 where it says the world and its desires, that's its pleasures and its attractions. It entraps us, but it's passing away. So don't look at those things. Don't give yourselves to them. We need to give ourselves to God. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. There's even people preaching on this TV, people that are sending out videos who are the Antichrist, and I'll tell you that they're not unbelievers. They come from out the church, and Antichrist means against Christ or in place of Christ. They actually put themselves in place of Christ or come against Christ. We need to watch out for that, because they'll lead us astray. It says they have come, This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, John says. They were part of us. They were believers. They went out from us and they preached the gospel, but they preached a different Christ, a wrong Christ, an antichrist. But they did not really belong to us. So they were part of us, but they didn't belong to us because they preached another Jesus. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. They would have fellowshipped with us. They would have been close to us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But here's the wonderful thing, guys. But you have an anointing, the Holy Spirit, who comes from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. We need to be reading this word. Whatever videos we are watching, whatever we go to, we shouldn't be asking other people's opinions. We need to be going to the Father and praying through the Holy Spirit and saying, is this you, Lord? Or is this a different Christ? Is this in place of Christ? We have an anointing to know the truth, you and I. And that's why so many people are led astray, because they follow a person and not the discernment of the Holy Spirit. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son, the true Father and the true Son. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to know the Word. We need to go into this, and we need to follow people who are on the right track. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Not just believing, but applying it, as we read. As for you, listen to this, verse 24. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. We need to be meditating on it. We need to be fellowshipping together. We need to be reading this Bible together. We need to be praying together to make sure we remain in what we heard from the beginning. I tell you, we've drifted from the original message that Jesus gave to John. We've drifted from it. We need to remain in the true word that came from the beginning. Remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised to us. Eternal life. It's worth it. Give up this world. Give up all the tickling and pleasures that these people are preaching to us. Let's get back into the Word. Let's get out of darkness. Let's get into light. Let's be obedient to His commandments, and we will receive eternal life. We will live forever and ever with our Father in the heavenly places. I'm writing these things to you. Listen to this. I'm writing these things to you about those, he's warning us, John's warning us, who are trying to lead you astray. Not unbelievers, believers who are preaching the wrong gospel are trying to lead you astray. So be careful who is teaching you. It's got to be the true word led by the Holy Spirit, and follow people whose characters fulfill light and not darkness. I'm nearly finished. As for you, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, you have received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. You can read this word. You can say, Holy Spirit, you lead me. You show me truth. You guide me. Is this right, or is what man's saying incorrect? The problem is we don't have a relationship with the Father and the Son and with each other, true believers, so that the Holy Spirit can bring us truth. We're relying on man, and man can lead us astray. It says, you do not need anyone to teach you because you've got the Holy Spirit. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, therefore, there's a counterfeit gospel out there. It's not counterfeit. Just as it has taught you, remain in him. And I'm closing now. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Our Jesus is coming. Let's stay true to him. Let's depart from this world in darkness and walk in the light. And last verse 29, it says, if you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. I've heard many people to say, you'll know you've got the Holy Spirit if you do this. You know you've got the Holy Spirit if you do that. Well, here the word says, you'll know that you've been born again, which means you've received the Holy Spirit. You've been washed clean. Why? If you do what is right. If his laws are written in your right and you are leading a righteous life, walking in the light. Amen. That's the preach for this morning. I've just got four pointers that we can maybe talk on, and maybe four pointers that I've just to help us remember this teaching. One, as we walk in the light, we will regularly confess our sins. So if we are walking in the light, we will regularly confess our sins so that we know we are clean and pure and righteous before God. We won't hide in the darkness. We got to ask, is there any darkness in us? Are we hiding anything from God? And have I got a conscience that the enemy can work on to say, you are far from God? Allowing the blood of Christ to continually cleanse us. So it's not an excuse for sinning, but it does cleanse us. So that's one. Are we walking in the light? And are we continually confessing our sins to the Lord so that he can change us? Two, we need to replace hatred. That's offense, jealousy, unforgiveness, comparison, etc. we have towards our brothers with love. We need to do that to come out of darkness into the light. Because love and fellowship with God produces love for each other. If we say we got hatred for each other, we can't say we walk with God. 1 John just told us, fellowship with the Father and the Son means love for each other. Three, two major roadblocks that hinder our walk. A, falling in love with this world is a hindrance and will keep us. Falling in love with this world. And two, falling for their alluring lies of false teachers. Be careful who you're giving ears to. Be careful who's teaching you this word. And four, proof for that we are reborn again is that we do everything that is written in his word. Amen. So we can maybe open this to discussion. I just want to pray for us as well, just as we close, and I'm going to hand over to Brad. Father, I just thank you for this word. I thank you that we can eat of your word, Lord. I thank you that when we delve into your word, it just seems like it sets us onto a foundation. It fills us with truth. It fills us with love. It sets our minds right. The enemy wants to give us a double mind. We're so confused. Where am I? What do I do? What is right? What's not right? But when we read your pure word and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, it brings so much clarity and transparency. It gives us a clear mind. We know what is right and we know what is wrong when we read your word and we allow your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Lord, may we be a people that are committed to your word. May we not give our ears to the wrong teachers, to every single prophecy, gospel, new word, whatever that comes out, but may we stick to that which is from the beginning, your true word, led by your Holy Spirit, as Jesus showed us and has empowered us to do. We thank you for this morning, and we thank you for everlasting, eternal life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Brad.